Hey, Leading Learning listener, if improving as a learning business professional is one of your goals for 2026, make sure to go to leadinglearning.com/summit.
The Learning Business Summit is the only event laser-focused on professionals who lead and work in market-facing businesses that serve adult learners. Across 3 days online, you'll connect with peers and experts to strengthen both your knowledge and your network.
Featuring hands-on practitioners and subject matter experts, the live education sessions are designed for participation, reflection, and, most importantly, action to boost the reach, revenue, and impact of your learning business.
And because leveraging technology is essential for any learning business, the summit also includes demos of LearnTech platforms.
It all happens online January 27th, 28th, and 29th. Go to leadinglearning.com/summit to get all the details and join us for the Learning Business Summit.
Now, on with the episode.
If you're a leader or an aspiring leader in the business of lifelong learning, you're in the right place. I'm Salisa Steele.
And I'm Jeff Cobb, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast.
Hey there, this is episode 139 of the Leading Learning Podcast. And it features a conversation with Corbin Ball, a speaker, consultant, and writer with 20-plus years experience running international technology meetings. He helps clients worldwide use technology to save time and improve productivity. But before diving into this conversation with Corbin Ball, we want to acknowledge our sponsor for the second quarter of 2018.
And that sponsor is Review My LMS, a collaboration between our company, Tagoras, and 100 Reviews. As the name suggests, Review My LMS is a site where users can share and access reviews of learning management systems. And the focus is specifically on systems that are a good fit for learning businesses, meaning organizations that market and sell lifelong learning. If you contribute a review, you get access to all existing and future reviews, and there are already more than 100 on the site. And if you don't have a review to contribute, there's a subscription option. For details, check out reviewmylms.com.
For our resource for this episode, we're going to point you to the Tagoras Virtual Events Report, as virtual conferences are something Salisa and Corbin discuss. We're currently in the process of running a new survey and will be issuing a new edition of the report in the fall of 2018. But for now, you can access the previous report, which is chock full of data about how organizations are and aren't using virtual conferences. To get access, visit the show notes at leadinglearning.com/episode139. Now, Salisa, give listeners a preview of what you and Corbin talked about.
Well, as you already mentioned, Corbin and I talk about virtual conferences, and we get into their major benefits and limitations. We also talk about virtual and augmented reality, and I know we've talked about AR and VR with other podcast guests, but Corbin's perspective is a little different. He works primarily at the intersection of technology and meetings, and so he talks specifically about the impact of virtual and augmented reality on meetings and events. I'd say in general, his focus on meetings sort of flavors all of his comments and observations a little bit and makes his perspective a little different from, you know, one more singularly focused on learning. And I think it can always be edifying to shift our viewpoint a little bit.
Well, I've heard Corbin's name on a number of occasions because we do obviously bump up against the event world quite a bit with what we do. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what he has to say. Let's go ahead and roll this conversation with Corbin Ball.
Hello out there, I'm Salisa Steele, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast, and today I'm joined by Corbin Ball. Corbin is a highly acclaimed international speaker, consultant, and writer, and he helps clients worldwide use technology to save time and improve productivity. He has more than 20 years experience running international technology meetings. His work has appeared in hundreds of national and international publications, and he's been recognized as one of the 25 most influential people in the meetings industry 5 times by Successful Meeting and Meeting News magazine. So, Corbin, welcome to the Leading Learning Podcast.
Thanks, Alyssa. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So, to start us off, since my introduction was an abbreviated version of your many years of work, what else would you have listeners know about yourself and what you do?
My background has been in technology as a meeting planner, but I think the last 20 years I've been working full-time as a meetings technology analyst. I'm an independent analyst. I've never made a cent of sale on any technology product, so I hope to give as unbiased of opinions as I can based on that. The whole area of meetings, trade show, technology, convention technology, those are my focuses, all aspects of technologies within those fields.
Well, great. And I'm sure there are many people who can who need and can benefit from that independent perspective that you bring. And so you're working at this intersection of technology and meetings, and you know, meetings and technology, of course, can be used for a variety of purposes. But since this is the Leading Learning Podcast, I'd like to focus on the use of technology and meetings to support and provide learning opportunities. And so maybe just to start things off, you know, what do you see as the relationship between technology and meetings and learning? And in the work that you do, are meetings primarily tied to learning?
Yes, I think so. Just on the fundamental basis, traditionally the two reasons why people go to events are networking and education or learning. And so those are the driving forces of bringing people there. With the rapid pace of change, job skills get quickly outdated, and what we've learned in college is obsolete in a few years, and meetings are one of the primary means of education for the industrialized world, and I see that as a major component. Technology, when used properly, can assist in that learning process and increase retention, but the meetings themselves are a very important means of education around the world.
Well, and so I know that one of the areas you've given attention to is virtual meetings. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about what you see as the major benefits of virtual events and their major limitations, too, and maybe, again, kind of especially with that learning lens on it, you know, what do virtual events kind of make possible that's really helps with the learning, and what do they perhaps limit in terms of learning, if anything?
Sure. Virtual events and online learning play, I think, a very important role in learning and in education. Webinars and other virtual meetings are a great source for short information exchange, and their strengths are they are typically much less expensive. Many of the tools are free, and they do not require travel, as to, unlike face-to-face events. However, in today's multitasking and often distracted work environment, attention spans are short. And I think my general rule of thumb is about 35 to 45 minutes is maybe an hour is the maximum that you can expect someone to pay attention to a webinar, for example, while sitting in front of a monitor. Meetings, on the other hand, take place people to a more focused environment with fewer distractions. As long as attendees are informed and entertained and fed, event hosts can keep them engaged for days. At the minimum, we at least share a contract to at least look like we're paying attention at events. And so the opportunities for networking and brainstorming and relationship building are far greater at a face-to-face event than online. I think that's the power of meetings. They provide a vastly richer, more targeted, and more focused learning experience than most virtual meetings. Although, as I mentioned, virtual meetings for short information exchange is a really important vehicle as well.
I'm sorry, I got a little distracted there. Could you repeat that? No, sorry, just kidding. Yeah, I totally agree that the distraction factor for virtual things can be serious. But I mean, I like what you're saying in terms of though they still have a role to play, and particularly if you are aware of that distraction factor and sort of compensate for it by having perhaps a shorter duration. You know, I know you've of course been also following technology for virtual meetings, so it. You know, it seems to me that kind of the technology that has supported virtual events has gotten a lot better over the years. In terms of the technology, though, you know, from your standpoint as kind of this independent analyst, you know, what changes have you noticed around the technology that supports these virtual meetings?
Well, I think that webinars and webcasting and multi-point video conference systems are well-established and reliable, And the good news is many of them are quite inexpensive, and some of them are free to use. They have become a mainstay. I think that they are, in terms of adoption phase, we're well into the mainstream adoption. Many people use that as one means of getting information, and I think it's, in my experience, I usually do 10 or 15 webinars a year, and the reliability factor is excellent these days.
Yeah, definitely. It's certainly changed a lot just in the decade or so that I've really been tuned in and making use. So you started talking about it there in terms of, you think that sort of the adoption curve for virtual meetings is pretty high at this point. And so do you see that we're kind of at saturation, or do you think there's still kind of room for more adoption and for others to sort of come along? Kind of where would you say we are?
I think that the benefit for especially online learning modules, on-demand learning, is huge. I think that it will eventually transform education at all levels as we know it, and so that ability, it's not going to eliminate face-to-face education. In fact, face-to-face education in schools and universities at meetings are still a really important factor. But the approach that we've had in the past for kind of the didactic sage on the stage or a lecturer is changing. It's transforming to, instead of a dispenser of information, it is a the speakers are becoming facilitators of learning. And the same, I think, is going to happen in education at all levels as well. And so I think there's a great opportunity for learning modules that are going to be focused specifically on individuals' needs, going to be based using artificial intelligence and responses on where they're at and what their learning styles are. There are great opportunities for development in those areas.
Well, and so I know now, as we're sort of maybe pivoting with that to some of the more kind of edge technologies, I know you've been thinking and speaking about the impact of virtual reality and augmented reality on events. So what are your thoughts on the major benefits and limitations of VR and AR at this point? And again, to the extent that you can sort of bring the view of the impact on learning, that would be great as well.
Sure. Handle them separately. VR is immersive multimedia is, I think, the closest thing that we have to the Star Trek holodeck, mm-hmm. and it's going to get better all the time. It can present information in a completely new perspective, and it will likely have, I think, a significant impact on learning. However, we are still in the very early adoption phase. The major tech companies, Google and Microsoft and Facebook and Samsung and others, have invested billions. Each have invested billions on VR, on development, and we're starting to see the developments coming. However, with this early adoption state, the quality needs to improve, the price needs to come down before it starts seeing widespread adoption. And it's currently quite a fragmented market. There are places that VR has been being used at events. The novelty is a strong attractor at trade show booths, and there are legitimate uses in design, for example, of exhibit booths or meeting room setups before you spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a design and exhibit booth to be able to virtually walk through it. So there are ways that can be used. And another major challenge with VR, it will be content creation. It is an entirely new medium, and content creators are still trying to figure out what the best practices are. And so I think there's a lot of special, especially in VR, there's a long ways to go before we're there. Now, augmented reality, I think, will be different. Augmented reality offers a view of the real world supplemented by computer-generated input of images or sound or GPS data. There's a lot of things that can be involved with that. And I think we're going to see explosive adoption and changes in the next few years, in the near term through mobile devices. The recent release of the iPhone X It has very strong augmented reality chops built in. Android is also advancing in the space. And AR is going to be a common feature in everyday life, from pointing your phone at a menu to see in a 3D image of food that you're going to order before you order it to see what it looks like, or virtually placing furniture in your room before purchasing it. And in IKEA, you can do that now. And so there's a lot of opportunities there, but eventually with more non-intrusive looking glasses, for example, such as an Intel's new Vault glasses, which projects a laser actually directly onto your retina, and it's very, they look like normal glasses, become more widely used with heads-up displays. And Google Glass, for example, is augmented reality. It was a great idea, but it's just too geeky to be accepted. And so it's you're seeing these 10 trends, or through audio augmented reality. There are different ways that can do it. AR is also a new medium, and it's going to require development by of best practices by content creators. It's I think the fact that you can see the real world and others interacting with this provides greater opportunities for collaboration and for learning in a group environment. And VR, it's unlike VR, which completely currently isolates you from your surroundings. And eventually they will, with VR game playing and so forth, you're going to be bringing in other avatars essentially to interact with. But it's I think that augmented reality, it's, has more opportunities for group collaboration and learning.
That's a very interesting perspective, that idea of sort of the group versus the individual. And it sounds like you think we're going to see more happening with AR in the near term than with VR. But it sounds like with both too, you see this idea of content creation and really figuring out how best to create the learning that's going to exist in these environments. And that's definitely rings true for me. It seems like it's going to be it's going to be a new skill for everyone to learn in terms of how to develop and deliver in that environment. So we've touched on virtual meetings, we've touched on AR and VR, and you even mentioned AI in one of your answers already, and maybe you want to mention it again here, but I'm just curious about kind of what other trends do you see impacting meetings and events and the learning that happens at those meetings and events?
Sure. I think one of the most significant ones is in mobile technology in general. It's bringing a new level of engagement to event participants with mobile polling and surveys and second screen technology and networking technology and business matchmaking and social media, and the list goes on and on. They are all leading to a fuller, richer event experience. And I think that will continue to do so. Even technology laggards are carrying around smartphones now. And so it's a medium that people can use and are using increasingly at events. Also, technology is providing much better detail regarding an attendee journey in events. I used to call the on-site event the black hole of event data management. You had computers before and after, but during the event, you were flying blind. Now we have many ways to determine attendees through their actions and interactions with a mobile event app, or through beacon technology, or social media analytics, or many ways that can be done. They give very granular detail about what their interests are in an event. And so I think that we can use that to improve the event experience for that individual in a much more targeted way, to use it to improve events in general, and also to contact attendees for corporations, for customers, essentially in a much more targeted manner. So data analytics and all the myriad of data collection tools that are evolving events have brought events front and center to an overall marketing campaign for corporations, and also really important for improving member satisfactions for associations.
Yeah, well, that's a really interesting point, that idea that, the event itself used to be this sort of the black hole, the desert where there wasn't the data. And now, thanks to mobile in particular, there's so much more data now. Do you find that a lot of organizations are aware of that data and making use of that data? Or is that still sort of, now we have the data and now we need to figure out how we make use of it?
It's getting better all the time. The newer cloud-based software systems are at their heart mobile enabled and built to share information. So the newer technologies that are coming out there make that process a much simpler process than it has been in the past. And so that's one component that is helpful for that. And so I and people are, I think it's up to the software companies to develop their analytics engines and make them accessible to other companies with that. And that's a process is becoming a lot easier than it has been in the past.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So go ahead.
Another technology that I think is happening for events, or how it's changing, is just that it's working to make the event experience much more friction-free. Advances in registration technology such as facial recognition and other means of lead exchange and so forth will shorten registration lines and in general make for a more individualized and customized experience for event participants. So there are many ways that technology is coming in to improve the business process for events.
Mm. Well, that's great. And so I know that because you work with so many different organizations and you're helping different groups, you know, optimize their use of technology at meetings. And so I'm thinking, since you have sort of this access to this broad sampling of data, you know, are there typical missteps? And or do you have high level advice for listeners who want to make sure they're doing what they should be doing in terms of technology and meetings? And yes, I realize that I've just thrown a couple of really big questions out there, but I would welcome your thoughts on both of those.
Well, on the major level, technology is not an end. It's a means to an end, and hopefully for a better event experience. So the first question is, my recommendation is, the first question to ask when using new technologies or considering it is, what are your goals and objectives in using it? How do you expect that will improve the event for the attendee, for the exhibitor, for the event planner or show manager, and how will you measure and quantify those successes? And so those are the things that you start with the basics, and there are a lot of bells and whistles technologies out there that you can throw in just for fun, but I think that broader perspective of really what your how does this fit into the meetings, events and goals, and make sure that those align as you develop those new or consider new technologies.
Hmm. It's always very good to have the goal in mind, and like you said, to make sure that you realize that the technology is a means and not an end. So, you know, if you think really big picture about kind of what's going on these days at the intersection of meetings and technology and learning, that intersection that we've been talking about, are there any developments or changes that get you excited or that get you worried?
I think that events and learning in general will likely change more in the next 5 years than they have in the last 15 due to technology. So there are new ideas and innovations that are popping up like mushrooms. I think that online learning will, as I mentioned, transform education at all levels, as we know. People will learn from customized modules based on their learning styles and interests and ability. Group learning will be very important to discuss and analyze content. And for events, speakers will become, as I mentioned, less dispensers of information and more facilitators of learning. I'm very excited about the opportunities that are coming.
Well, that's great. I like that idea because obviously technology then allows us to do more of that customization, more of that personalization of the learning for the individual. But I like too that you also mentioned the group learning that's still going to remain important. And again, I liked what you were saying in terms of kind of drawing that delineation between AR and VR in terms of kind of AR having more of that collaborative potential, at least in the near term. So we'll turn a little bit away from kind of your areas of expertise. And I want to ask you a question that we ask of everyone who comes on the Leading Learning Podcast. And since our listeners are in the business of lifelong learning, we like to focus on the learning that our interviewees are doing after they've left their formal education experience, you know, after they left college or graduate school. So for you, what has been one of the most powerful learning experiences that you've been involved in as an adult since finishing up your formal education?
I think I'll contradict myself a little bit when I was talking about didactic speakers and so forth, that although I have just said that technology will have a huge impact on learning, I think the most powerful learning experiences I've had as an adult at events have been when gifted speakers transform how I looked at things. DeWitt Jones, the National Geographic photographer, speaking on creativity, or Mark Sharonbroich talking about making connections, or just to name two of the dozens of great speakers I've seen over the years. They've left me inspired and floating as I left the sessions. A skilled professional speaker, I believe, can change lives and can have a very strong impact at events. And so it's a combination that's outside of technology, but it's a combination of using technology to prove the process. But I think there's a space for excellent speakers to make a difference as well.
Mm-hmm. I think it's like you were saying that there's a lot of potential for technology to support learning, but that people will continue, you know, to gather for the place-based learning as well. And it sort of seems like similarly how so many people say, well, you know, the lecture isn't the best way to learn. We need to have, you know, more hands-on learning. And yet there are the excellent lectures. There are these great speakers that really can move us and inspire us. So I think that's a good point to be reminded of. And so last question, just as if listeners want to know more about you and your work, where should they go?
Well, thanks for asking. There are a number of ways, but many can be found at my website, corbinball.com. It has a ton of free content on events and trade show technology. You can also there at my website subscribe to my free bi-monthly newsletter, and there are links to follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is corbinball. LinkedIn and Facebook as well. So, going to my website, corbinball.com, is a good kickoff points for all of those.
Well, great. Thank you so much for making time for the conversation, Corbin.
Happy to do so, Celissa. My pleasure.
That wraps up our interview with Corbin Ball. To get show notes for this episode, go to leadinglearning.com/episode139. And there you'll find access to the Tagoras Virtual Events Report that we mentioned as a resource for this episode.
While you're there at the show notes, you'll also see various options for subscribing to the podcast. If you're getting value out of what you hear, we would be truly grateful if you would subscribe, as it helps us get some data on the impact of what we're doing.
We'd also be grateful if you'd take just a minute to give us a rating on iTunes. Just go to leadinglearning.com/iTunes, and that'll put you in the right place. Celissa and I personally appreciate your rating and reviews, but more importantly, those reviews and ratings really play an important role in helping the podcast to pop up when would-be listeners are searching for content on learning and leading. So consider leaving a rating and a review for the Leading Learning Podcast as, well, one of your kind acts of today.
And we'd be grateful if you'd take a minute to visit our sponsor for this quarter, Review My LMS. Jeff and I put a lot of time and energy into the Leading Learning Podcast, and one of the main reasons we're able to do that is because we're able to generate revenue through other sources like Review My LMS. So please visit reviewmylms.com, and if you can, contribute a review to help others find the right platform for their needs.
Finally, consider telling others about the podcast. You can send a tweet. In fact, we challenge you to send a tweet simply by going to leadinglearning.com/share, and that'll pop up a tweet that you can send out just by clicking the button. Or if tweeting isn't your thing, just take that language, put it into another social network of your choice, or put it into your mouth and walk down the hall and tell somebody about the Leading Learning podcast. But whatever you do, please help to spread the good word.
Thanks again, and see you next time on the Leading Learning Podcast.